Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We live, yes, in a divided nation. We live in a nation that's full of sin, that suffers in sin, and not just our nation, our world. I think sometimes we give the USA a bad rap because we act like the USA is the worst place in the world, but we've never been to another country, so we don't understand how bad it can be anywhere, because the fact is sin, all right? The devil's the devil. He doesn't just operate in one country, and so there's bad things everywhere we go, and so when we look at our world today, we're suffering with some issues, and we really need to get a hold of it. I just running through some stuff. Social injustice right now is a big deal. It's a hot topic. But the fact is, Israel was sent off. Everybody thinks that Israel was sent off to captivity in the Old Testament just because they were worshiping idols. But the Bible says in multiple places it was because of the way they treated each other. It says your inability to operate with justice is going to cause you to go off into exile. And so I think we forget that sometimes. And so we think about this idol worship, and we don't have idols here, but if you look around our nation, we got plenty of idols, right? We carry idols around in our pocket all the time, and we pull them out, and they got little dead faces on them. And so we carry around idols all the time, and we struggle with this. So we got all kinds of sexual sin going on, racism, addiction, you name it. There's all kinds of stuff happening in our world today. And here's the one thing I wanted to, and it may not even fit in the message today, but I just wanted to put this in here. And that's Genesis chapter 6. And I discovered that throughout the Bible, there's this term that is used that I didn't really pay that much attention to. And I want you to look at this, because this shows us kind of where God is on all of this stuff. The Bible says that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. Listen to this verse right here. It broke his heart. Sometimes I think we look at the news and we look at the state of the world and we get mad. But when God looks at it, his heart breaks. When God looks at us, his heart is broken. And we don't ever picture God as having a broken heart over the nations, but he's got a broken heart over humanity that he created to love him that doesn't love him. And we look at it and we just get mad and we judge and we point fingers, but we forget that we've got to have a broken heart just like God does, or else nothing's going to be changed. Being angry won't change anything. But whenever your heart is broken for an issue or for a people, then that will move you and motivate you to make real change. And so one of the things we're going to talk about today, the title of the message today is called healing. Very simple, it's called healing because we need a healing in our nation today. We need a healing in our nation. I just ran a Spartan race yesterday, and in doing so, I've got some problems with my knees and my hips a lot of times because I don't stretch nearly enough. And so I did some research beforehand because my knees will hurt and my hip will hurt. And I did some research beforehand, like how to fix your knees whenever you're running so they don't hurt so much. And the biggest thing they said is you got to stretch. You got to stretch. And one of the things they said is they encourage you, take a yoga class because it'll make you stretch. Now, if you know me, and yoga, we're not like best friends, right? Just the idea, just the name yoga sounds funny to me. And so I'm not a big yoga person. I don't like to stretch, and I certainly don't like, worshiping Buddha or whatever yoga is all about. I have no idea. But I went in. So last week I thought, I'm getting ready for this race. I've got to get my legs and everything stretched out. And they were doing a beginner's yoga class at the YMCA on Sunday afternoons at 4:00. And I thought, I'm going to run up in there. I think it's 30 minutes. Stretch myself out. I'm going to be good. So I go to the beginner's yoga class last week at 4:00. Now, again, if you know me, you know that Sundays come early for me. I'm a 4:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings, preach 2 services. I really have a hard time napping after church, and so it's a long day. By the time bedtime gets here, I'm tired. I'm worn out on Sundays. And so 4:00 rolls around. I show up at yoga class. I walk in, and I ask this lady that was there. I was like, hey, you know, how long is this class? She's like, I think it's an hour. And I was like, oh, man. So right off the bat, strike one. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was 30 minutes. It's an hour. And then the lady comes around the room, and she comes in. She's got this little baggie, and it's got little pieces of paper in it. She goes, here's your Yogi message for the day. I said, yeah, I don't need that. I got my own message. It didn't come from Yogi, whoever that is. I mean, I don't need some bear telling me what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just put it to the side. She's like, the message is on the other side. I was like, yeah, I said I don't need it, you know. I just want to stretch my legs. Like, can you just get to that point in the day? And so we're sitting there, and she begins to stretch yourself out. And I mean, it was awesome. I stretched. I was doing all kinds of, you know, I'm doing this and this, and I looked like a ballet dancer, but my legs felt so good. And I was just very relaxed. And then she gets to the point of the day. She's like, all right, we're going to do some ohms. If you want to do an ohm, I was like, no, I don't do ohms. And I said, I'll pray. You know, so I'm just sitting there praying. You know, I just close my eyes, start praying. And I'm sure the people next to me, they thought I was crazy. Like, that dude's really into yoga. Like, he is, like, talking about it. And so I'm praying. She's like, I want you to look through your mind's eye. I was like, I don't know. No, I don't have a heart chakra or mind's eye. I have none of that. I got the Holy Spirit, and that's all I need. You know, we're going to just go with that today. And then she gets to this point. She says, I want you to find a relaxed position. And I look around. I'm like, what is that? So I look around, and everybody's just kind of laying like this. So I lay down like that. And I look around again, and everybody's got their eyes closed, and they're relaxed. And I was like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and relax. But I told you already, I got up at 4:30 in the morning. I had a long day. And they got the lights off. They got some soothing music. So I'm laying down on the ground. And all of a sudden, it went, oh, I jerked up. You know, I was like, I thought I fell asleep, because I did fall asleep. But I thought that I was the last one there. Surely everybody's gone. And here's dummy over here laying on the ground. And so, like, everybody's looking at me funny. I was like, okay, I got to relax. Everybody's still relaxed. I'm going to relax again. And so just as I relaxed, he hit me again. And I was like, I said, I'm done. I got to leave. You know, I can't keep falling asleep on this little bitty mat. So needless to say, I don't think I got much out of it, because I ran yesterday. My knee still hurt. You know, my knee was still hurting. So I thought, I got to do some more yoga, and or a.k.a. sleeping on the floor at the gym. So whatever you want to call it. But we need healing. And so whenever I was reading about healing on my knees, they always give you these steps. You know, you need to stretch, you need to work, work out in certain ways, you need to do these certain things, and here's some steps. And so as I was praying about what do we need in our nation, in our world for healing, I discovered that God gives us some steps that we need to take, some keys to find in healing. And it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now in this story, they built a temple to God. They dedicated that temple to God, to His service. And then God shows up and begins to talk to Solomon. And if you read the whole chapter, what you're going to find is that God knows people are going to get jacked up. Like, He understands that people are going to go their own way. And God begins to tell him, there's going to come a point when y'all are going to get jacked up, and I'm going to have to come in, and I'm going to have to allow some things that are going to hurt. I'm going to have to bring some discipline to kind of bring you guys back together. And when I do, here's what's going to happen. And he starts to tell him how to find healing whenever disappointment comes, when discipline comes, when division comes, when sin comes into our life, how to find healing. So he says this, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me tell you, first of all, today, before we get into the rest of the message, that word healing there, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it doesn't just mean like put his hand on you and now you're healed. It means to literally take a needle and thread and begin to stitch two things back together. In other words, what God says is, when I look at your country, when I look at your nation, when I look at your civilization, and I see all this division, I see division between black and white, I see division between rich and poor, I see division between liberal and conservative, and East Coast and West Coast, and North and South, when I see this division, here's what I'm going to do. If you'll follow the steps, if you'll follow these keys to healing, I will come in and I'll start pulling you back together. And I'll start stitching you up. I'll start stitching you up. And so that's my goal for the day is, my prayer today is, God, stitch us back together. Bring us back together. And so today, let's go through these keys. I've got four keys for you. The first key, and we're going to always come back to that verse. So if you look back at 2 Chronicles 7:14, we'll be there a lot today. But the first key is this, is we've got to have humility. We've got to have humility. It says, if my people are called by name, will humble themselves. So the first key is we've got to have humility, because humility is a matter of perspective. If you look up that word, the word humble or humility, it means to get low, to get as low as you can. It changes your perspective. Whenever I'm standing up here and you're sitting down there, I'm above you. As a matter of fact, when I talk to our preaching team, our speaking team, one of the things I tell them is I say, whenever you stand on this stage and you speak, you tell people that they're not allowed to speak back and ask questions. Right? So think about it. Sunday morning, we don't ask questions. It's sitting time for question and answer. But I told them, I said, but whenever you get down on the floor and you speak, you project an image that says, hey, this is more of a discussion, not a teaching. And so on Wednesday night, sometimes we speak from the floor because we want it to be more discussion and less, oh, I'm going to sit and listen, I'm going to participate. But whenever someone's on stage, what's the difference? The speaking is the same, the person is the same, but the perspective is different. Now I'm on your level. So now we participate with each other, but when I'm up here, I'm on a different level. And so now you listen. Does that make sense? It's not a good or a bad, it's just a different perspective. And I think part of our problem in America is we've got the wrong perspective. It's not even a bad perspective. It's just one perspective. We've got our perspective and nobody else's. I was listening to a guy speak the other day, and he had this illustration. It was a really good illustration. So I'm going to steal it. So if you see someone else do this on the internet, please don't come up to me and say, Pastor, you'll never believe this. So-and-so had the same illustration. They must have heard you do this. Most of the time, I'd let you get away with that. But today, I'm going to be humble because I'm preaching about it. I've got to let somebody else have the glory. But I want you to look at this water bottle I have here. Now, we all see the same water bottle, correct? This isn't a trick question, correct? But here's the thing. What do you read on the front of this water bottle? Well, you guys either can't see very good or this is just like really slow. We need to wake up. Instead of serving Cajun chips in the morning, we're going to start serving 5-hour energy. Just wake us all up, get us going, get us ready for the day. Dasani, right? You see Dasani. I don't see Dasani. I see, what do I see? I see purified water, that's good. Magnesium sulfate, I'm not sure about that. Potassium chloride, salt. What the heck am I drinking? I wanted water. I ended up with the whole chemical solution here. I see something different than you see. Right? In order for me to see what you see, what do I need to do? I need to get a different perspective. I need to get where you are, and now I can see what you see. But as long as I'm where I am, I'm always going to see my perspective. But until I put myself in your position, then I can't see the same thing you see. Listen, white people. We look at America one way. And we expect everybody to look at America the same way we look at it. But black people see America a different way than we see it. They grew up a different way than we may have grown up, some of us. We didn't grow up having to worry about which lunch counter we could eat at. We need to start getting a different perspective before we start saying stuff. I have a friend of mine, she wanted me to write a blog about civil rights, and she asked me to read a book written by Martin Luther King. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought I knew a lot of stuff about Martin Luther King. But when I read that book, it gave me a different perspective. Now all of a sudden I see what some of the other generations went through in the city of Birmingham that I never would have had to go through. I see the issues that they had to fight against. I see what the cops did. Right? But I never would have seen it. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will only look at our nation one way. And we'll never see someone else's perspective. And then we start judging. The problem is we're not humble. We're prideful. And we need to get down off our high horse and get down where other people live. Now, I don't mean to just preach at white people. I know y'all are all going to be mad at me after this is over. You'll get over it. Because the fact is, we all need that. We all need a different perspective. Every one of us. Every one of us needs to get a different perspective. I would encourage every one of you, if you ever have an opportunity to go to another country on a missions trip or anything, it gives you a different perspective. I remember as a kid, I know I'm probably getting off the topic a little bit, but I remember as a kid living in a different country, living in Costa Rica, living in Guatemala, and being the different kid, being the minority, being in a country where you got looked at funny and everybody talked about you and whispered about you whenever you walked by. I remember being in that position, and it didn't make me dislike anybody else, but it just gave me a different perspective. I remember seeing friends that didn't have a house. I mean, I had a friend of mine, I told you this story before. You walk into his house, and it was dirt floors, and the whole back of his house had fallen off in a landslide, and they still lived in half of a house. They just hung up plastic sheeting that they had found on the side of the road, and they had dirt floors everywhere, and they had a toothbrush and no toothpaste. And I remember his little teeth were rotting out of his head, and it was just this whole different view of life. I never had to worry about was I going to have toothpaste or toothbrush. We weren't ever rich, but we always had what we needed. But whenever I went to someone else's perspective and looked at life, it helped to humble me because now I see what other people live like. What God's saying here is, He's saying we got a problem. The biggest sin, the root of all sin is pride. And the way you kill pride is you humble yourself. You get a different perspective, and we need to look at things differently than we've been looking at them before we start judging people. We need to get a different perspective on God. We need to see God as someone that's heart is broken, as a father who is hurting and because his children don't even serve him anymore. We need to get a different perspective. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. This whole chapter is really good. As a matter of fact, if you go by the little titles, part of the title on this one is unity in the church. And so look at, I'm just going to get a section of this. I could read the whole chapter. It's all good. But Ephesians 4, 2 through 6, it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Right off the bat, it's telling you, get a different perspective. Be patient. Love people. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Not united in the church. Not united in your politics. Not united in your color. Not united in your social status. United in the Holy Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. For there is one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. That's a good verse. We could shut it down right there. We've got to learn to humble ourselves and bring unity back to the body, back to the state, back to the nation. Bring unity. The second key is we have to seek and turn. Now, if you look at this, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I put those two together. You would think that would be one key. But really, those two terms go together because here's the problem. In most places, we want to do one or the other and think that we're going to bring healing. Sometimes we think, all we got to do is pray, Pastor. If we can just go to church, if we just seek His face, then everything's going to be okay. But we forget that there's got to be a turning away from wicked ways. We've got to get away from some of the junk that we're doing and saying. If you keep reading in Ephesians chapter, whatever it was I read earlier, chapter 4, if you get down to the bottom of Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about you got to put away all this stuff you're saying, the way you're acting towards people, the way you treat other people. He said, what you're doing is grieving the Holy Spirit. You're breaking God's heart by the ways you're acting. And what we do sometimes is we think, if I just seek His face, everything's going to be okay. But God says, I want you to seek and turn. You've got to seek and turn. You've got to turn away. Sometimes we think, if I can just turn away, if I can just stop this addiction, if I can just stop talking to these people, if I can just get out of this relationship, if I can just turn off the computer, we think if we just turn away from something that it's going to set us free and bring healing, but it's not. You've got to turn away and seek His face. You've got to have both. I think sometimes preachers get up and we hound you about all the stuff you're doing. About how much you're smoking and drinking and cussing and watching movies and doing whatever it is that we're doing wrong. But we never point you towards pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes we tell you, all you got to do is love Jesus. I've been in these churches. All you got to do is love Jesus, bless God, everything's going to be okay. And we never tell you that, hey, there are some standards in Christianity. There's some morality that you got to live up to. There's a righteousness that you need to walk in. There's a holiness that we need to have. And if you continue to sin, you're doing it all wrong. But you got to have both. I truly believe that if we will truly seek God's face, and determine in our hearts that whatever you tell me to turn away from, I will turn away from. That God will reveal everything we need to turn away from. And it gets real easy. It gets real easy. But we got to seek and turn. You can't just choose one or the other. They're not enough to bring healing. They're not enough. They're enough to make you look good, but not enough to bring healing to our nation. I think sometimes we tell people all the time, when we see this division, we say, well, if you would just do this. And we never tell them about Jesus. Or we tell them, if you would just give your heart to Jesus. Can I tell you right now, there are plenty of people out there that will fill up churches every Sunday morning. And they have more racism in their heart than the KKK. And they don't realize it. Because what are they doing? They're seeking Jesus, but they're not willing to turn away from something that's wicked. And there are people out there right now that are protesting and getting on Facebook and they're putting on their mask and they're running around and they're trying to turn away. We got to turn our nation away from the wickedness. But they're not seeking Jesus and all they do is stir up more dissent. We've got to have both. And I got to move on. Key number three. Is me, not them. Now this is huge. This is a big part to the message today because it's going to set us up for the next part. So if you don't get this key, the next key won't make a whole lot of sense. But key number three is me, not them. A lot of times what we want to do is we want to say, well, if they would just change. We say, I'm going to pray for the nation today. God, I pray for the nation. I pray that you would change the nation. I pray for the president that you would change the president, get the president saved. If you would just save all of Congress and the Senate, and we pray for everybody else and we believe for everybody else and we think that if everybody else will change, that it'll be okay. But we got to bring it back to me, not they. Look at what the Bible says. If whose people? My people are called by my name. God's not calling for all the sinners to get right. God's calling for His church to get right. Healing begins in the church. Healing begins in the church. It's all about the church standing up and making a difference first before we can expect everybody else to make a difference. It begins with me, not them. And that brings us to my final thought for the day. We're about to shut it down. The final key is prayer. In all this, he says, you can put that back up, Kim. If my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That's the one thing I left out so far, but prayer is probably the most important part of this. Will humble themselves and pray. Why? Because when I pray, it changes my position. Not my perspective, although that does change too, but that's humility. It changes my position. Now all of a sudden, I don't just pray about them, I pray about us and me. It starts with me, not them, and prayer is the key. I just want to tell you, I'm going to read a little bit here. Matter of fact, let me just skip down. I want to skip down, Kim, if you don't mind, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I want you to look at Jesus real quick. The fact is, Jesus changed His position for us. The Bible says this, for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin. Let me pause right there. Jesus' position is righteousness. Jesus' position is holiness. Jesus' position is Son of God. But in order to bring healing to the world, Jesus had to change his position and become sin. He had to leave righteousness and holiness and Son of God and say, I will be sin. Why? It says this, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He was sinless. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might find healing. What we're going to say right off the bat is, Pastor, I'm not prejudiced. I'm not racist. I'm not in some kind of bad sin. I'm poor and I love rich people. I'm rich and I love poor people. We can say all that if we want to. But the fact is, Jesus had no sin and he put himself in the position of sin. This happened throughout the Bible. If you read, Perry got me reading the Bible chronologically. It's a very interesting way to read the Bible because the Bible's not written chronologically. And so when you read it chronologically, you begin to see how things begin to fit in that you didn't realize fit in those ways. The Bible talks about the children of Israel were taken into exile by Babylon, and then Persia took over, and the Romans took over, and everybody took over, right? But it talks about while they're in captivity and exile, that Daniel begins to read a prophecy about when the exile is supposed to end. And Daniel begins to repent. Not for himself. Daniel was a holy guy. He begins to repent for the people. He begins to put himself in a different position. He went from being governor, holy, righteous, good dude, to being, I'm just like everybody else, a sinner. And then they get released. And then we read about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah does the same thing. He hears about Jerusalem being broken down and lots of division. And Nehemiah begins to repent. Nehemiah's a good dude. He's a holy guy. But he begins to repent on behalf of the people. And then Ezra picks up the mantle. And Ezra gets all the people together. And they begin to repent for stuff they didn't even do. Why? Why are they praying? Why are they doing that? Because prayer is intervention. Prayer changes my position and it takes me from being in a position of the judge to being in a position of like the lawyer or even the guilty party. Can you imagine if one of your family members was about to go to prison and you stood up and said, I did it. You didn't do it, but I did it. And I'll take the punishment for them. That's what prayer does. We begin to pray as though we were like them. As though we were them. I just want to read a little bit of Daniel to you, if you don't mind. Now, Daniel chapter 9. I think I may have even put in your notes that you could read from verse 1 down to 22 if you want to. You could read a lot of Daniel chapter 9. But I'm going to pull out 3 through 5 for a second. And I just want you to listen to this. Here's Daniel's prayer. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication. Listen to this. With fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He's acting like someone's dead here. He puts on uncomfortable clothes, puts ashes on his head, and he begins to fast. He stops eating. He stops drinking. And he says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God for my people. And he says this. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. Now, he didn't do anything wrong. Daniel's the guy that whenever the king said, nobody can pray to any other God except for to me, Daniel said, I'm going to pray 3 times a day to my God no matter what the king says. And people saw him do it and they threw him in the lion's den. That's Daniel. Now he's confessing. He says, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and who with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. He continues throughout the rest of that those verses, all the way through 19, he continues to say, we're sinners, God. Let me tell you something. If we want to bring healing to our land, we have to get off of our high horse. We have to humble ourselves, change our position, our perspective. We got to seek and turn, right? We've got to pray. And here's how we do it. We put ourselves in a different position. We got to stop praying for our nation and start praying as our nation. You got to stop praying for your family and start praying as your family. You got to stop praying for your school and start praying as your school. We got to pray as our nation. And this is how I want to just end. I wasn't even sure if I was going to share this or not, but I will. When I repent as my nation, it puts me in a position to receive from God. Check this out. Verse 20. This is so cool to me. Daniel says, now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, he wants you to understand that he was in the middle of prayer time. He got interrupted in his prayer. One time I was praying when I was a youth pastor. When I first became a youth pastor, I didn't know what to do with myself because I wake up early and I wasn't married. And so I would just go to church at like 7 in the morning. Like I'd wake up and get in the shower and I didn't have anything to do, so I just went to the church. And I remember I went into the youth room one day and I was praying. And I had on worship music kind of loud and I'm on the stage praying. And I'm praying for the teenagers and I'm praying for the church. And as I'm praying, I didn't realize that the children's pastor had slipped in. And our children's pastor was a big guy, big voice. And he had tried to call me a couple of times, but the music was too loud and I couldn't hear him. And he said, Gabriel! And I almost died on the stage. I got so scared. I was like, ah! You know, I just stopped. I screamed. And I can imagine Daniel's doing the same thing. He's in the middle of praying and praying and praying, and he's repenting for his people, and all of a sudden, God interrupts his prayer. It says this, it says, while I was still speaking in prayer, the man, Gabriel, that's right, the man, he is the man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, get this, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. God wants to put something inside of you today, and he wants to put something in this church. He wants to put something in this nation. He wants to give us a skill to understand. He wants to help us. He wants to bring healing to us. But it starts with us confessing and repenting as though we were the ones sinning, even if we've got nothing wrong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.